So we are in the middle of chapter two, and we're discussing this incredible idea that we have a part of Hashem in us. And to think about it, think about the vastness of creation. You know how many times light goes around planet Earth in a second? 7.5 times. It takes 0.13 seconds for light to go around planet Earth, okay? So think about that fraction of a second around planet Earth. Do you know how long it takes light to go from one end of the observable universe to the other? If I remember correctly, it's 46.5 billion years. 46.5 billion years. So we're thinking about planet Earth. Light goes around planet Earth 7 times in 1 second. It's even hard to count how many seconds there are in an hour, right? Then forget about a day, a year, 100 years, 1 million years, 1 billion years. 46.5 billion years to go from one end of the observable universe to the other. And you know what all of that is? It's just a word of Hashem. What does that mean? I don't even know. If I want to wrap my mind around it, I can. All of that is but a word of Hashem. What does that mean? It means it's the external aspect of Him. It's something so nothing of the essence. Okay? So think about that idea that we grapple with. We can't even imagine it if we wanted to. Sit with it and you think about how it takes light 7 times in a second, but then from one end of the universe to the other, 46.5 billion years, you can't. You can't even imagine that. And that's just the word of Hashem. And that's just the physical universe that we know of. Okay, there's other universes that we cannot see. Now contrast that with the fact that we have the breath of Hashem within us. Within us, we literally have not of His external space, but of His internal space, of His very essence. You can't even imagine who you are, what you contain. You can't even imagine what we manifest in this world. And there is this letter of the Rebbe that I came across to a philanthropist, Mel Landau. He supported yeshivas in Florida. And this was on the occasion of a groundbreaking. And the Rebbe wrote him a letter on the occasion of the groundbreaking. And he said, more close to home, this is an excerpt from the letter, and specifically relating to further teachings of the Baal Shem Tov and of Chassidus, is the thought which groundbreaking evokes in relation to human endeavor in general and spiritual advancement in particular. So, of course, everything that we see is a lesson for us in serving Hashem. That's what the Baal Shem Tov taught us. Whatever we see is a lesson in serving Hashem. So the Rebbe is looking at this groundbreaking and says, what do we learn from a groundbreaking? Well, just in the regular human endeavor, he said like this, for in order to achieve fullest productivity, an individual must often begin with breaking his outer shell or crust, formed by habits, natural dispositions, and environmental influences, etc., so as to release the tremendous inner powers and resources which are infinitely greater than those on the surface, and more importantly, are infinitely more stable and durable, since they are closer to the individual self and are anchored in the essence of the soul itself. So the Rebbe is looking at groundbreaking, and he says, groundbreaking, that's something we have to do all the time, just as human beings. It's so much easier to work on the surface, right? It's so natural. We talked about our animal soul. It's natural. That's our natural self. We're so used to this is my habits, and this is what I do, and this is what I'm born with, this is my temperament. Oh, great. That's natural, but that's not deep. And any human being on planet Earth, if they are to realize their potential, they have to do the difficult work of groundbreaking. And even though it's difficult, the essence is much more durable and stable, the Rebbe writes. So yeah, it's hard, but when you reach that inner space where you're literally one with Hashem, that's your truest self, and that's your most stable self. Our animal self is what we relate to naturally. It's our go-to when we're mad and when we're tired and when we're hungry. That's not our durable self. That's our natural self. But our durable self is the one that we have to do groundbreaking for. And there's not a Jewish person in all of history that doesn't have this divine spark within them. This divine spark meaning literally a part of the divine essence clothed within their human body. There's something incredible. Sigmund Freud, you know, he's known as the father of psychology. He called himself the greatest enemy of religion. He had a book of his translated into Hebrew, Totem and Taboo, and he writes an introduction to this book. And he says some really, you know, strong statements that we might find offensive, and then he says something really crazy. So this is what he says. He declares himself adopting no Jewish standpoint, making no exceptions in favor of Jewry. He describes himself as having abandoned all common characteristics of his fellow Jewish people. Then he writes something really crazy. He said, no reader will find it easy to put himself in the emotional position of an author who is completely estranged from the religion of his fathers, but who has never yet repudiated his people, who feels that he is, in his essential nature, a Jew, and who has no desire to alter that. If the question were put to him, since you have abandoned all these common characteristics of your countrymen, what is there left to you that is Jewish? He would reply, a very great deal. Wow. And probably its very essence. He could not now express that essence clearly in words, but someday, no doubt, it will become accessible to the scientific mind. So this is Sigmund Freud, okay? He hates religion. He says, I have nothing in common with my fellow Jews, but I can't tell you my essence. It's Jewish. I can't explain it. One day the scientific mind's going to understand that. I can't put it into words, but that's me. And that's true about all of us. Our essence is divine. We can't escape it. We have this like fire burning under us. It's because we have this fire burning in us. And if you want to shut it down, you can't shut it down. All we can do is channel it. And that's what we're learning here in Tanya. You know, that's why the demands of the Tanya are so high. Because we have not just an animal soul. We literally are the manifestation of the divine in this world. And last class, we were talking about three ways in which this expression of the Jewish people being part of the divine inner essence is expressed. One was Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chaim. And he blew into his nostrils a soul of life. So this is the imagery of Hashem blowing from his very inner space, imparting the soul into the Jewish person. Adam had this original soul, which was the divine soul. Then we talked about Yisra'a Alu B'machashava. The Jewish people arose in Hashem's thought. And we talked about the fact that thought is a very inner aspect of a person. It's part of their inner reality. And then we talked about Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. You are children unto Hashem your God. And where does the child originate? Within his father's brain. And it doesn't just mean his father's wisdom. It means within the essence of his father's self. That's where a child originates. So, child originates from the essence of his father's mind. Jewish people originate from Hashem's wisdom, which is the essence of him. And as the Rambam says, he is the knowledge, he is the knower, he is the known. It's all one. Then we started to look at this Kabbalistic note and say, wait one second. You're calling Hashem synonymous with his knowledge and his wisdom. He's all one. He and his wisdom are one. We're saying we originated his wisdom, so we're one with him. Wait one second. Let's look at Kabbalah, who says that you can't define Hashem in any way. And we reconcile that with the teachings of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, the Ramak. And then we started to look at the teachings of the Arizal. The teachings of the Arizal are way beyond what was ever exposed before. And if we look at it from the lens of the Arizal, we're going to say, one second, how could you say that Hashem and his wisdom are one? So the Arizal taught this idea of Tzimtzum Harishayin, the original contraction. What does that mean? That means that, you know, we were talking about Hashem contracted himself and contracted himself and contracted himself, and he made these 10 sefirot, these holy vessels through which he expresses divine light. And we said, well, we can't identify the tools with the artisan, but in the end, we talked about the fact that he and his wisdom are one because he fuses with these 10 sefirot. The Arizal said, you cannot, from the infinite, create something finite. So if there's going to be just cause and effect, so you're going to contract and contract and contract, the effect is going to be subsumed within the cause. It's never going to have an independent entity. It's not going to be an independent existence. It's not going to be anything finite. From the infinite, nothing finite can happen. The Arizal writes like this. I'm going to read you excerpted sentences from the teachings of the Arizal in English. They're very abstract, Well, maybe not abstract. They can sound very physical, and we have to realize that they're extremely abstract. So he says like this. Prior to creation, there was only the infinite or Ein Sof, which is the light of the infinite one, filling all existence. When it arose in God's will to create worlds and emanate the emanated, he contracted, in Hebrew Tzimtzum, himself in the point at the center, in the very center of his light. He restricted that light, distancing it to the sides surrounding the central point so that there remained a void, a hollow, empty space away from the central point. After this Tzimtzum, he drew down from the Or Ein Sof a single straight line of light from his light surrounding the void from above to below into the void, and it chained down, descending into that void. In the space of that void, he emanated, created, formed, and made all the world. So what is the Arizal saying? The Arizal talks about something called siluk, which is removal. He said in order for there to have been worlds, something finite, there had to be the utter removal of Hashem's light. Otherwise, nothing finite could have come into being. And besides, if we're going to just talk about contraction and contraction and contraction, then how do we reconcile that with the Jewish idea that the world was created yishma'ayin, something from nothing? The Torah clearly says, Bereshis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ves-ha-aretz, in the beginning of God's creating heaven and earth, it was from nothing. So if it's just cause and effect, then it's from something. So the Arizal said, no, there was siluk, there was absolute removal of Hashem's light from this space. He created a hollow, a halal, and in that space, he drew down a kav, a line. And from that line comes this downward descent, creating the world. Now, the Arizal's teaching was a subject of debate among later Kabbalists, from like one extreme to the other. The Alter Rebbe in Igeres HaKadosh writes that the only thing that was contracted, that was hidden, was his light. And it wasn't actually removed. It was in a figurative sense. And the Alter Rebbe says that when we're talking about Hashem's infinite essence, no change whatsoever. So if you think about that for a minute, that Hashem is here exactly as he was prior to creation, there has been no contraction of his essence whatsoever, you're going to be astounded. Just think about the fact that right here, right now, filling all space is Hashem's essence. And it's the most present entity anywhere and everywhere. Okay? But we're talking about the manifestation of his essence. And that was completely removed figuratively, so that there can be a space where created beings see themselves as having a separate existence. Because it actually makes no sense. I mean, like, imagine you're writing a story and then some character off the page starts arguing with you and says, no, you're just a figment of my imagination. Like, you think you're something separate from me? Like, you're having a daydream. The parts of your daydream are then going to start saying things and doing things other than your plan. That actually makes no sense. It's like the shadow saying, hey, bye, I'm going off from it. I'll see you for lunch. You're my shadow. So for us to feel like we have an independent existence, Hashem has created this space for us to feel like we're separate. Now, there's like basically four different opinions among Kabbalists. Some of them say, well, he hid both his essence and his light. And some of them say that he removed his essence and his light for real. But that, again, is a subject of debate, and that's not the point here. So we're looking at us being Hashem's wisdom. How could that be true? That's only true that we're one with Hashem from the space of his wisdom at a certain point. If we go beyond the Tzimtzum to the original essence, his essence is ineffable. There's nothing we can say about it. That's what the Maharal said. That's why the Maharal took issue with the Rambam's statement that he is one with his wisdom. You're going to give him a label? As soon as you label something, you confine it. It's not just physically that Hashem is not limited. Spiritually, he's not limited. You call him wisdom? That means you've put him in a box. You've defined him. His essence is pashat betachlis hapshiptus. Simple as simple could be. That's it. So it's true. When we speak about Hashem's essence, there's no words to describe it. We cannot say that he is one with his knowledge. But as Hashem has contracted himself to create worlds, that's where we can start talking about he being one with his wisdom. So that's where we are now. At the bottom of page 4, V'gam lefi kabbalas ha'arizal yatsiva milsa. Even according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria of blessed memory, Maimonides' statement stands. The Kabbalah of the Arizal provides an even deeper insight into the limitlessness of Hashem's essence, higher than even that level of knowledge to which Maimonides refers. Still, even according to the teachings of the Arizal, Maimonides' statement is acceptable with one proviso, however. Beside hislabshus orin seif baruchu al yedei tzimtzumim rabim, Bechelim de chachma bina das da atzilus. This is so only when applied to the mystic principle of the clothing of the Ein Sof light, by means of numerous contractions, tzimtzumim, in the vessels of the sephiris of Chabad. Chabad is an acronym for chachma bina and das, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, respectively, the triad of sephiris which represent divine intellect, of the world of atzilus. Whoa, so we're talking a lot of Kabbalah here, and again, we're lucky that we get to study that, but we're just going to have to work ourselves a little bit so we can broaden our minds and understand. And you can think like, hey, why would I study that? Just give me the basics. You know, yes, there's a God. He made the world. I got to keep the mitzvahs. Like, why are we looking at Seder Hishtalshelus and talking about Sephiris? We have to stretch the limits of our imagination in order to understand all of that. Well, actually, later on in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe talks about that it's an incredible mitzvah to know about Seder Hishtalshelus, to know about this. And one of the reasons is because King David instructs his son, Solomon. He says, Da es Elokei Avicha v'avdehu b'lev shalem. Know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart. In order to serve Hashem with a whole heart, we have to know him. And we say, yeah, God, you know, he made this and that. He's in charge. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But we don't learn anything about him. We don't give ourselves the chance to be astounded by his greatness. How could we serve him with a full heart? The Torah says, I gave you all these mitzvahs so that you could come liyira es Hashem, to fear Hashem. And the Talmud says that all of the Torah is tara ladarta. It's just an entryway to the home. What's the home? What's the dwelling place? Of Hashem. Everything that we do in service of Him is to get us to that place where we can have that relationship, where we can be in awe of Him. If we don't study all of this, we can't possibly have the awe that we should to serve him with the whole heart. So we're looking at Seder Hishtalshelus and we're saying, okay, beyond Seder Hishtalshelus, there's nothing to talk about. Hashem's essence, you can't describe him anyway, not at all. Where does this idea of Hashem's wisdom being one with him hold true? Only once we're talking about the lights coming into the vessels of the world of Atzilus. So let's break this down a little bit. The highest of the four worlds is the world of Atzilus. That's where Hashem first emanates from himself the 10 holy sephirot. In the world of Atzilus, there is the light and the vessels of the sephirot. Let's look at vessels first. What are vessels? Vessels are the form and character, the definition of something. So for example, the vessel of Chachma would be the form and expression of wisdom. The vessel of chesed would be the form and expression of kindness. What are the lights? The lights are, before it came down there, it was contracted, of the infinite essence of Hashem, utterly simple. But once the light comes into the vessel, it is the vitalizing flow within the vessel, so that, for example, when Hashem's infinite light comes into the vessel of kindness, it manifests in a way of kindness, that Hashem is doing kindness for creation. The way it works is, once the vessels come into the light, there's a total fusion of light and vessel. Even the vessels are godly. So when we're talking about Hashem being one with his wisdom, that's absolutely true in the world of Atzilus. We talked about this line coming down. Even after Hashem has totally removed his light, figuratively, and then drew a line down to create this evolution of worlds, he still had to contract it and contract it and contract it until it can suit a vessel within the world of Atzilus. Once there is this fusion of this infinite light with the vessel of Chachma in Atzilus, then we can say that he and his wisdom are one. His wisdom is the vessel of Chachma. He is the way he manifests in the light within Chachma, and there's a total fusion so that he and his wisdom are one. So, According to Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, we already learned that this is true. He and his wisdom are one. Now we're going to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, where the Arizal says you can't say anything about Hashem's essence. But once we talk about how he manifests within the chain-like descent of the order of the worlds, that's where we say he and his wisdom are one. Okay, so through a process of self-limitation, contraction, God manifests, or in Kabbalistic terminology, clothes his infinite essence, referred to by the Kabbalists as the Ein Sof, the endless, infinite one, in the Sefirot, which are his attributes. This manifestation occurs first in Atzilut, specifically in Chabad of Atzilut, divine intellect. Thus, at the level of Atzilus, God can indeed be defined in Maimonides' terms of knowledge, knower, and known, meaning intellect. However, Achlai lemaila meha Atzilus, but not higher than Atzilus. Above the world of Atzilus, the unknowable God cannot be defined. Accordingly, in terms of the Kabbalistic scale, Maimonides had nothing to say about God except from the world of Atzilus and down. Okay, so at least for me, that threw me off a little bit, because I was like, one second, we're talking about us being totally one with Hashem, and then we're saying, yeah, he and his wisdom are one at the world of Atzilus. But beyond the world of Atzilus, like, what are you going to talk about? You can't talk about anything, right? So actually, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe writes notes on his Hasidic discourses. And on this particular discourse, he discusses this idea of the soul coming from Hashem's wisdom, and the fact that we come from this place of the wisdom of Atzilus, where there's already light in vessels. But he said like this: this applies to the three levels of the soul that are within the body: nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So the Midrash tells us that the Torah calls the soul by five names. They are nefesh, ruach, neshama, chaya, yechida. Three of them are intimate with the body, and two of them surround the body, as it were. They are aloof from the body. The three of them that are within the body are nefesh, which is related to practical action, ruach, which is related to our emotions, and neshama, which was related to our intellect. Those three are a pervasive experience in the body. Above that, there's chaya and yechida. We're really a part of the divine consciousness. And when we're talking about the level of yechida, we don't have a separate existence. In fact, from that place, we're really all Jewish people. We're one. And that's another principle of Ahavas Yisrael. You know, you come to think of it, you know, we're all in separate bodies, right? But actually, we share a same essence. And in that place, you can't even differentiate between one Jewish person and another. So when we're talking about the experienced levels of the soul, nefesh, ruach, and neshama, they come from Chachma of Atzilus, but not just Chachma of Atzilus, the Ein Sof light that comes through Chachma of Atzilus. That's, first of all, that's what the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, says. But then he said, when we talk about the level of Yechida, we're one with Hashem beyond even Atzilus. So if you just think about that for a minute, that we have a space where we're one with Hashem beyond even the highest level that the human mind can grasp, it just blows you away. And it makes you realize again that we have to not limit ourselves to our animal self. It's so hard to let go of that self because it's just so natural. It's so what we're used to. That's the soul that we're born with. That's the one that we relate to. You know that analogy of how they trap monkeys? So they carve out a squash and they make it big enough for the monkey to get his fist inside. They nail it to the ground and they put in some bait. Then the monkey runs over to the squash and he wants to grab those seeds. So he sticks his hand inside and now he can't get his hand out because he grabbed the seeds and so his fist is that much bigger. And he's stuck. Hello, little monkey, if you just let go of the seeds, you can run free. But no, he wants to hold on to the bait. Okay, so you're stuck. It's the same thing with us. You know, it's like, hello, little monkey, you're not an animal, you're divine. You say, no, I don't want to let go. It's just too hard. I can't see myself past this space where I'm just part of the jungle. You're not part of the jungle. You're literally an expression of the divine. Let go. It's so hard to let go because where is that going to lead to? I don't know. We have to stop and we have to let go. And in fact, there's a story of a group of college students who came to visit the Rebbe. I think it was in the 1960s. They had some questions about science and Torah. And then one of the students mustered up the courage to say to the Rebbe, I heard they say about you that you perform miracles. Is that true? So the Rebbe said like this, every Jew possesses a soul which is an actual part of God. Like God, the Jew's soul is not limited by the constraints of the natural order. The Torah is the medium which connects a Jew to his godly source. When a Jew attaches himself to the Torah, his godly potential is revealed and he is not bound by the natural order. And you think about those great tzaddikim, literally the miracles that they performed. It wasn't only that they were connecting by studying Torah and doing a mitzvah. They literally yielded, they surrendered to the divine essence within the Torah. You know, you see some people and they study Torah and then they go around and they, you know, they're not exactly the poster child for a Torah way of life. You say, well, how does that happen? Because they never let their ego out of the way. So they were not accepting the fact that this is Hashem's Torah. They weren't allowing Hashem to shine through them. But the second a person realizes that Hashem has inscribed himself in the Torah, and he is channeling himself through the Torah and yielding to that and just being humble and a channel for the divine, the infinity that a person reaches from that space is absolutely incredible. I want to tell you a story of a very simple Jew who lived somewhere in Eastern Europe, and he had an inn. And one day the Baal Shem Tov was traveling. Nobody knew who he was, and he came to this inn, and the wife was serving, the children were serving, but the father was nowhere to be seen. And they said, well, where's your father? And they said, oh, him, he's praying. He'll be out in a few hours. Okay. After a few hours, out comes this simple looking fellow with a prayer book. And he said, I'm sorry, it takes me a really long time to pray. You know, I know how to read Hebrew, but I don't understand any of it. My prayer books has like, you know, this is for Shabbat, and this is for holidays, and this is for weekdays, this is for morning, and this is for afternoon. I don't know any of that. So I want to make sure I say the prayers. So I say the entire prayer book every day. But you look like you're learned. Would you help me? Could you put like papers in my book and say, you know, this is what I say, and this? And he said, so the Baal Shem Tov said, sure. So he sat with him for an hour. And in Yiddish, he wrote slips of paper. You know, this is grace after meals. You know, after you eat, say this. And this is the morning prayers. This is the afternoon prayers. This is Shema before bedtime. And the Baal Shem Tov leaves. Not long after the Baal Shem Tov left, the siddur mysteriously falls out of the bookshelf and all the papers fly out of the books. And he said, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. I better catch up to that man. So he takes the book, he picks up all the papers, throws them in his satchel, and starts chasing after the Baal Shem Tov. Now he sees his Baal Shem Tov ahead of him, and he's about to cross this brook, which in the wintertime swells and is very dangerous to cross. And he wants to scream, but his voice won't reach. Don't cross, it's really dangerous. But he sees the Baal Shem Tov takes out a kerchief, puts it over the brook, and stands on it as though it were a raft, gets to the other side, and continues walking. Okay, so he gets to the brook, he takes out his kerchief, puts it over the brook, gets to the other side, and chases after the Baal Shem Tov. And he said, please, I don't know how this happened. My book fell and all the papers fell out. And the Baal Shem Tov said, I can put them back in for you, but how did you get here? And he said, I saw what you did. You know, you put the kerchief and you stood on it and you went across. So I did the same thing. Mm-hmm. The Baal Shem Tov said, no, keep doing whatever you were doing until now. And this is someone who wasn't learned, but he was a manifestation of the divine. He was someone who didn't hold on to his own ego. What was his desire? Only to serve Hashem. And each of us, if that's truly our desire, only to serve Hashem, we can tap into our divine essence and literally perform miracles. And the greatest miracle is fusing heaven and earth, showing how everything that's physical is literally an expression of Hashem. So that's where we are up to now.
Question.
Yes.
You didn't define Chaya and Yehida. Can you define?
Yes. So there's actually the glassblower analogy of the five levels of the soul. Arye Kaplan has this in his book, Inner Space. Okay? So look at the glassblower. He has this desire and conscious will to create a glass vessel. So he fills his lungs with air. And then he takes a tube and from his lips blows breath down the tube into this hot lump of glass, which now fills the vessel and creates an empty space where his air comes to rest. Let's look at that. Looking at the vessel where the air has come to rest, that is the lowest level of the soul. That is the level of nefesh. And in fact, if you look at the word nefesh, it comes from, shares the same word as the Torah says, Vayi nafash, and he rested. In order to be in tune to that level of our soul, we have to tune out the rest of the world and just tune in for a minute to our spirituality. But then let's go a level beyond that. Let's come not to the air as it rested, but to the air as it's turbulent and moving down the pipe. That's not a feeling of tranquility. That's a whirlwind of emotion. And that is the level of ruach, where we feel these divine emotions of love and passion and fire and awe for Hashem. That's the level of the soul of ruach. Wind. Above wind, it's not just wind, it's breath. Neshima. Breath is much more intimate than wind. Breath is, you feel the source of the one who's breathing. That is an intimate feeling. And that is not just feeling these whirlwinds of divine emotions, but being cognitively aware of the presence of the one who's breathing. And that is the intellectual awareness of Hashem, and that is neshama. Neshama from the word neshima, breath. Above that is the lungs, is the air, as it is within the glass blower's lungs. It's part of his being. It's already a oneness with the divine. And that's Chaya. But beyond that is the conscious decision and will to blow the vessel, to create the vessel. And that's part of the glass blower's consciousness, where it's actually an inseparable entity at all. It's literally him. And that's Yechida, which is oneness. And actually, on Yom Kippur, we all have access to that space of Yechida. Okay, so we said not beyond Atzilus. Uchamaisha kasav b'makim acher, she'ein seif baruchu, meraimam u'misnase, raimamos enkates, lemaila maila mimahus uvachinas chachma bina da'as. As explained elsewhere, the Ein Sof, blessed be he, is infinitely exalted over and transcends the essence and level of Chabad. Ad shemahus uvechinas chachma bina das nachasheves kasiya gufanias etzleisberg. In fact, the level of Chabad is regarded as being equally inferior as material action in relation to him. Kimaisha kasav kulam bechachma asisa. Thus it is written, you have made them all with wisdom. So what does that mean? All of this applies when we say he and his wisdom are one. That's only true from Atzilus and down. Beyond Atzilus, do you know what Chachma is like? Okay, so let's stop for a minute and look at the bottommost level of all the world. It's this physical world of action. And within this physical world of action, it's just a material action. Me picking up that cup and putting it down. Okay, that's as pretty detached from anything. Now let's go all the way up to the highest, highest world, the world of Atzilus, where the Alter Rebbe writes later on in Tanya. It's Elikus Mamish. It's literally godliness. And let's look at the highest sphere of the world of Atzilus. That's Chachma, which is Kayachma, the potentiality of what is. It actually has no definition, really. It's just there to channel the divine. It's absolute selflessness. So we can't compare just the physical action in this world to that highest level of the world of Atzilus, of Chachma, which is literally what channels the divine into all these worlds. And yet, when we're talking about Hashem's ineffable essence, we're saying, and I actually can't say it because it's so hard to even say it, that Chachma of Atzilus and a physical action are equal. Is that crazy? I choked the first time I said it. I was like, how could you say that? And yet, when we're talking about Hashem's essence, all of that is equal. And that's what it means when David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Kulam bechachma asisa, you have made them all with wisdom. Made them with wisdom? You should say conceived them with wisdom. Made them with wisdom, is that Hashem's praise? I mean, even a human being tries to do things with wisdom. No, but actually it means that. The highest level of wisdom is literally like asiya gufanias, physical, material action compared to chachma. Because compared to Hashem's essence, we can't say anything about his essence. When we say that he is one with his wisdom, that's true when we're talking about the world of Atzilus, where there's lights and vessels. When we're talking about his essence, we have nothing to say about his essence. The divine essence is as removed from Chachma even, as Chachma is removed from physical action, and even more so. It's just, that's the limit of our imagination. The lowest and the highest, but for Hashem, it's beyond that. Now stop for a minute and think that the very core of our soul comes from his essence. it's not an idea to take lightly. It's something we have to take very seriously and realize that this is who we are. And instead of getting ruffled and unsettled, stop and say, oh my gosh, I am a manifestation of the divine in this world. I am here to be in a physical earthly body, a physical vessel, and yet channel and manifest the highest, highest divine manifestation light in this world. So let's summarize this note, and that we were just trying to conciliate the words of the Rambam, that he is one with his knowledge, with the ideas that we taught in Kabbalah. And we learned that Hashem totally fuses with the Ten Sefirot, so it's correct to say that he is one with his knowledge. And even according to the Arizal, who said you can't say anything about his essence, it's still true only when we're talking about the levels starting from the world of Atzilus. But when we're talking about his very essence, then guess what? Even the highest, highest level of Chachma of the world of Atzilus is on the same level of physical action in this bottommost world of all the chains of the worlds. Physical action in this world, exactly the same as the Chachma of Atzilus compared to Hashem's essence. And of course, we can't understand that. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is going to say now, quoting from the Rambam. We're going to flip back in our book, because of the way it's broken up for the note, to page 3. So turn one page back, the bottom of the page. The davar zeh ein b'yecheles ha'adam lahavinei alborei chulei. Maimonides continues and says, and this is not within the power of any man to comprehend. K'dechsev ha'cheker alei ka'timsa. As it is written, and this is in Job, can you find and understand God by searching? And it is also written, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, says God, and consequently your human thoughts cannot possibly comprehend my thoughts. So when we say that my thoughts are not your thoughts, it's not like we think about stupid things and Hashem thinks about a lot more important things than us. That's not what it means. It means it's an entirely different category of wisdom. Hashem's wisdom is not like our wisdom. We are separate than our wisdom. Hashem's wisdom is totally one with him. And this is something that we can't understand because we don't have it in our human experience. Like the Alter Rebbe writes later on in Shaar Yechiv HaEmunah chapter 8, in order to really relate to something, you have to find it within yourself. We can't find this within ourselves. Only Hashem encompasses all. And because he encompasses all, his wisdom is literally one with him. Since his wisdom is one with God himself, as has been shown, it follows that the Jewish soul, which stems from divine wisdom, as stated above, actually derives from Hashem himself. Now we have to flip to page 6. So we're going to say, okay, we all come from the same space. We all come from the same space. So then I look around and I see so many different kinds of Jewish people. I mean, just look at history. There is Moshe Rabbeinu, and then there's like some people that are pretty low down on the moral scale. Are they all really the same? Do they all have the same kinds of souls? We said we all come from Hashem's wisdom. Does that mean we're all the same? Now, actually, it does mean we're all the same, because from a certain space, we really have a shared essence. But as souls come down world to world, they take on the consciousness of that world. So like we talked about, there are the four worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. We did a major treatment on this later on in Tanya, which is earlier in on the podcast. It's in chapter 44, part 4. The title of that podcast is The Love in Your Mind May Not Reach Your Heart, But It Does Reach Higher Realms of Reality. And there we talked about all four worlds, if you really want to know about the four worlds. But we're looking at these four worlds. There's Atzilus, the world of just total oneness with Hashem. There's the world of Beriah, which is the world of divine intellect. There's the world of Yetzirah, which is the world of divine emotion. And then there's the world of Asiya, which is the world of action. And the way we serve Hashem in this, with this kind of consciousness, is Kabbalah's all. Hashem told me to do it, so I do it. I don't understand much. I don't feel much. I just do it because Hashem said. Okay, so when souls come down, they come down through these four worlds. A soul on a very high level, although it comes down through the four worlds, never takes the consciousness of a lower world. So we're looking at a soul of, let's say, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, even in this world, had a consciousness of the world of Atzilus. That's not most of us. Somebody who's really lucky goes to the world of Brihan, takes on the consciousness of that world. Somebody who's not as lucky but still pretty lucky could take on the consciousness of the world of Yetzirah. And then finally, there are souls of this world who just have the consciousness of this world. And it's very hard to move past that. So yes, we all come from the same source, but there are so many differences, and that's what the Alter Rebbe is going to discuss now. V'af sheyesh rivavais minei chalukei madregais b'neshamais. Gavaya me'al gavaya le'en ketz. True, there are myriads of different gradations of souls, neshamot, rank upon rank, and infinitum. K'may gaidel ma'alas nishmais ha'avais u'maish rabbeinu aleyem ha'shalom. Al nishmais d'ariseinu eila de'ikfei mashicha. For example, the souls of the patriarchs and of Moses, our teacher, are by far superior to the souls of our own generations, which belong to the period preceding the coming, literally the heels, the footsteps of Mashiach. So we're going to say 1 second. We're going to look at Moshe Rabbeinu's soul, and we're going to look at the time of Ikve Mashiach, the heels of the Mashiach. So literally, it's supposed to mean like, you know, he's coming soon. We hear his footsteps. But it also means something much more than that. And that is that the entire Jewish people make up one complete stature. The Arizal writes about the soul of Adam HaRishon. He says, Said guf echad shel nismas Adam HaRishon, kol echad mi Yisrael hu ever prati. The mystery of one body of the soul of the first man, Adam, every single Jew is a specific limb of the soul of Adam HaRishon. So Adam HaRishon gets this inclusive soul. Each of our souls is rooted somewhere else in his soul. So there are souls that are rooted in the mind. There are souls that are rooted in the heels. And when we talk about a lofty soul, it's not about like intelligence. We talk about a lofty soul, it's the capacity for holiness. Some people have an extreme sensitivity to godliness and to holiness. And some people, they could be a scientist. They could be somebody with an IQ of who knows what. And yet, when it comes to spiritual matters, they're very, very insensitive because they have a low capacity in their soul. Now, trace it up. We all have a very high capacity. But to access that capacity, we need help. And that's what we're going to discuss next class, Be'ezus Hashem. So let's summarize what we said in class today. And we're looking at our divine soul that's literally a part of the divine reality. We come from Hashem's thoughts, and He and His wisdom are one. And yes, it's true that we can't really say that when we're talking about Hashem, because if we look at Him, like, I mean, His essence, you can't say anything about His essence. So first of all, it's true according to the Kabbalah of Rabbi Moshe Cordovero, because Hashem totally fuses with His Sefirot, so it's still correct to say that He is one with His wisdom. And even according to the Kabbalah of the Arizal, it's true that we cannot say anything about His essence. There's nothing to say about Him. He's literally absolute simplicity. You cannot call Him by any definition. But once Hashem clothes His infinite light, after having made that first radical leap, that first contraction, and then channeling in that thin stream of light and contracting it and contracting it until it becomes enclosed in the vessels of Chabad of Atzilus, the intellectual attributes of the world of Atzilus, then as that light fuses with the vessel, it's 100% correct to say that He and His wisdom are one. But beyond Atzilus, you can't say that. Not just that, but when we're talking about Hashem's very essence, then the wisdom of the highest world of Atzilus is exactly equal to material action in this world, because He is completely beyond all of that. Now we're coming back to look at our souls, and we're saying we're all rooted in Hashem's wisdom. We're all rooted in Chachma Ilah, supernal wisdom. So why do I look around, and why do I look across history, and I see there's such a differences between souls? Let's look at the souls of Moshe Rabbeinu and Tzaddikim like that, and then souls from the later generations who don't seem to have that kind of spirituality. Where do those differences come from? And that's what we're going to talk about next week, Bezrat Hashem. And each of us has our own unique flavor, which is what we're going to get to. So our homework for this week is to realize, the Talmud has an expression, Avuch b'mai zahir tve. What was your father most vigilant with? Which mitzvah did he observe most scrupulously? And it's not because, you know, you pick and choose, like you keep this mitzvah and you don't have to keep that mitzvah. We're all obligated in mitzvahs, right? But when the Talmud asks that question, it means that everybody has that mitzvah that's like their soul's song. There's something about them and the mitzvah that they are the channel for that. So we each of us during this week to think about, like, what's that mitzvah that I love and that makes me shine, and how am I channeling that on a regular basis?